The following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the Upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Until he comes back, and that is, probably know it, right? It's called the Great Commission. Go. He's looking at his 11 disciples at that point, 11 guys, and who just a few weeks earlier had been hunkered down in a room scared to death. And he says to them, go and make disciples of all nations. And that was just absolutely throwing the doors open in terms of where the gospel was to go. Make disciples of all nations, Jews and Gentiles, every tribe, tongue, language, and people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and remember this, I am with you always. Wherever you go, until I come back. You're never alone. You're never moving in a way that I am not moving with you. So to think about also the fact that that vision initially was given to just a bunch of average, if you will, ordinary guys, men and women, as we really look at the New Testament. God is calling all of us to be a part of what he is about in this world. And when it's all said and done, when the trumpet sounds and Jesus calls us home, or we pass from this life to the next prior to that, we will know with clarity that it is what we do for the Lord in this life as we live out this great commission, this vision that ultimately is of the highest priority. And I just want to think a little more about what, I've got to turn my clicker on, what Kyle just quoted in this video that he gave us when he said, the power of the church is not found solely in our ability to gather, which is what we're doing right now, coming together on a Sunday morning, but in our ability to intentionally scatter throughout Matthew 28, the world, and take the good news of grace, by the grace of God that we are saved and delivered into all domains of society. In other words, everywhere. The good news of the gospel goes in you and me wherever God sovereignly puts us. You know, Jesus also turned things kind of upside down a little bit in terms of we don't now go to the temple or go to the tabernacle in the Old Testament to be where God is. But Jesus said, your body is now my temple. I will take up residency, just like the Holy of Holies, where God dwelt in the Ark of the Covenant. He's now saying, I am living in you. Your body is now the temple of the Holy Spirit. So wherever you go, I am with you. I am in you. To know that we have that kind of power. And I want to ask this question. Do I fully understand and embrace the fact that God is accomplishing his purpose in this world through me? Sit on that for a moment. Do I fully embrace and understand that God is working through me? I am not a spectator in the stands. I'm not one of the X number of thousands of people that are going to be watching a football game here in a few weeks. I am in the game. And God is working out his plans. Guys, this is really what I want us to fully capture, even when I don't see it. I think about a chorus that we've sang for the last, 10 years. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. I know you're working in me. God is working out his plans, even when I don't see it, even when I am completely unaware. That's a question that I want us to ponder this morning. And a great picture, I think, of that happening in Scripture is in Acts chapter 11. Would you turn in your Bibles? Like I said, this is a one-off message. We're going to be in Exodus next Sunday. But as we think about this question of, do I fully understand and embrace the fact that God is always working in me in ways that I don't see it, and that I am in the game, not a spectator in the stands? And as we come to Acts chapter 11, we're going to be in verses 19 to the end of the chapter. As we'll see in the initial part of this text, the apostle Paul, previous life Saul, persecutor of the church, had just overseen the martyrdom of one of the early church leaders, a man named Stephen. And in the wake of Stephen's death and martyrdom, it inflamed the Pharisees to really go out all out, as well as the Roman Empire, all out against Christians. And it's in light of that that the church that initially was in Jerusalem is now being scattered throughout, well, initially, kind of the surrounding area of about 300 miles. So let's look first at 19 down to 21. Now, those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among the Jews. Well, I'll just stop to say that's how Jesus lived. Jesus, you read several times throughout the Gospels, that Jesus initially took the message of salvation, of why he came, initially to the Jewish people. But we see in the Great Commission that that gets, like I said, the doors get blown open, and now spreading the word, well, initially only among Jews, but some of them, verse 20, men from Cyprus and Cyrene went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also. I know that might not sound like a whole lot when you read that half of a sentence, but that's a big deal. This is now the Holy Spirit prompting the Great Commission to begin taking shape, began speaking to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. That's the gospel. Jesus died on the cross for all of us. We don't have to earn our salvation. We cannot earn our salvation. It is only in the blood of the cross that Jesus shed on the cross that we are forgiven and saved. And the Lord came to wash us clean and to live in us and to give our lives purpose. The Lord's hand was with them. And we see then a great number of people believing and turning to the Lord. Wow. So just to pause there, we see this singling out of this place called Antioch. Just to put it on a map, you can see Rome up there and Greece in the middle, and modern day Turkey used to be Galatia there. And then down around the corner of the Mediterranean, look down at Jerusalem. That, of course, is where the church was born, in Jerusalem. And then up into Syria, Damascus. And there we have Antioch. Antioch was the third largest city in the Roman Empire, second only to Rome and Ephesus. It was a pivotal city. You can see how significant it was. Literally, it's a pivot as you swing around up into Asia Minor, what was Asia Minor, and then up into ultimately Europe. So Antioch was a significant location. As I just said, third largest city in the Roman Empire, pivotal. I made a note here to say God had a plan that they could not see. And what was that plan? Well, how did this passage begin? That it was because of persecution that they scattered out of Jerusalem. Now, at the surface level, of course, that's horrific. It's not a good thing. And yet, even when they didn't see it, God was working. He was using persecution as a way to push them out of Jerusalem and into other parts of the world. So God had a plan that they couldn't see. And when they got to Antioch, they didn't hide. They didn't shut up. What do we see even in these three verses? They began telling others the good news, the gospel. They opened up their hearts and their mouths and they spoke. They told their grace stories. And just to tap into the language that we use here at Summit, they saturated their target. Target being where God put them. They didn't hunker down and hide. They spoke the good news, even in spite of the potential of persecution, and began saturating their target where they lived now and where God had put them unexpectedly, and began sharing Christ. All right, let's pick up in verse 22. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, home church, mother church. And they sent Barnabas up to Antioch, which, by the way, is about 300 miles from Jerusalem up to Antioch. And they sent Barnabas, who was one of the key leaders in Jerusalem, up to help them. When he arrived and saw the grace, what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. You know, critical moment, because we see that these believers in Antioch are now taking the good news to non-Jews, to the Gentile world, to Greeks. And Barnabas could have just shut that down, but because he was an encourager, his name literally means, probably know this, maybe not, Bar means son of, and Nabas means encouragement. And that was his nickname. His actual name was Joseph. We know from another part of scripture, but everyone gave him the nickname Barnabas, because he was the son of encouragement. He just encouraged, and he was such the perfect person to go up and see what God was doing in Antioch. And he encouraged them and to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Verse 25, then Barnabas went to Troas, which is just up around the corner up into Turkey, not that far around, kind of that bend up into Turkey. Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him back to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples, interestingly, sidebar, were first called Christians in Antioch. I love that. If you want to know where this title Christian came from, it's because these believers in Antioch were like little Christs, if you will. They represented Jesus in the world so well that they were called Christians. Just a few things to note about these few verses. Barnabas is known to be an encourager. Like I just said, perfect guy for the job. The Jerusalem church is looking here to partner with what God is doing in Antioch. They could have been threatened or competitive, but they weren't at all. There was clearly a spirit in what God was up to and what the Holy Spirit was doing to partner with what God was already doing now up in Antioch because of the persecution. Thirdly, we see that Barney brings Saul to Antioch to equip them, to invest in people, not organization. Now, that isn't to say that organizing the church and all of that isn't important and good, but clearly, Saul is brought in to teach, to equip, and to build up people. Verse 27, during this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted a severe famine that would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. They did sending their gifts to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. Just a few things to point out about what we have here at the end of Acts chapter 11. The Jerusalem church was committed to releasing their assets and not protecting them. And we see that in sending up Barnabas and blessing what was happening. Later, the Antioch church not only released funds for the church in Jerusalem, but ultimately released then Barnabas and Saul, later to be known as Paul, to go and plant other churches. So there is clearly this spirit of blessing, of generosity, of giving. And what I think we see in this passage is really a pattern for us, for the church, for what we ought to be about. And just to kind of think of it this way, this is just a way to frame what we've just thought about. What does it look like to live from an inside out mindset as opposed to outside in? And what, just to kind of give a picture to that, quite often, I think, in a very natural, I would say even human way, we tend to think that bigger is better, if you will, more is better, and often the church, I mean, you think about the business model, and think about growing a business, or a lot of other ways to think about this, but when we think about the church, even particularly over, let's say, the last 30 years in America, quite often we think that the bigger the church structure, the more facility, the more people, the bigger the budget, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, is really how we measure success. You know, bucks and butts in seats, and that's how we think about, you know, a successful church. We all know that that's kind of how it can become or slide into. And that, in a lot of ways, is an outside-in thinking, mindset, framework. The more that we can gather people together and measure them, if you will, and again, this is not saying that that's not all, that is all bad. There's a lot of good things that God has done in that way. Personally, I, back in my 30s, I served at a church that was 7,000 or 8,000 big. We had 5 services, and I don't even know how many millions in the budget. And so I've been a part of a large church. Many of you have. This is not a slam on that. This is just a way of thinking, especially going back to what's happening in Acts chapter 11. Versus an inside out mindset, where we really think in terms of what God is doing in my life as I don't so much live in the church building per se, but am really taking the Holy Spirit with me wherever I go. So just to kind of flesh this out a little bit in light of Acts 11. So the outside in church, just looking at those kind of 4 boxes, collecting community, down to 3 o'clock on the dial, building organization. Thirdly, competing against culture, you know, getting bigger than others or whatever that looks like. And then protecting assets, building up the budget. We've got X number of dollars in the bank and millions of dollars saved, kind of an idea, you know, that a board of a large church is only happy when we've got X number of millions of dollars sitting in a bank account. But you think about those aspects of competing culture and building the organization, collecting community, protecting assets. That's easily how things can go, particularly in, I would say, the church in America. Let's flip that over and think about the inside-out church. And what do we see here in the church in Antioch? We see them mobilizing their community. They were being equipped. Why did Barnabas go and get Saul? He brought him in because he knew Saul was a great thinker, a great teacher. He knew that Saul, that God was at work in Saul. And wow, for a powerhouse year, you've got Barnabas and Saul mobilizing the people to get out and share the good news. They were building not so much an organization, but building disciples to go and share Christ with those in their community. They were collaborating with culture. And what we see in that, I'll just say, Antioch, as with many of the Roman large cities, was pretty worldly. And they could have hunkered down and isolated, but clearly they were permeating a lost culture and in a way collaborating with the culture to reach Greeks and Jews, Gentiles, and then releasing assets. That is all over what's happening in the early church, where the Jerusalem church was releasing assets to Antioch and Antioch sending money back to Jerusalem and then releasing Paul and Barnabas to go out and share Christ with the world. Simply put, just kind of a big idea for this morning as we think about our vision, we want to think from the inside out in an outside in, I'll say, church culture. So what are the five distinctives that Kyle mentioned are not that make us in any way better. This is just what we want to be about as Summit Church. First of all, target-driven, which is saturating our God-given geography with the gospel. Saturating our God-given geography with the gospel. In other words, let's start with where we're at as Summit Church, where we particularly gather, where the Lord has us right here, right now. And to think, say, for example, a 2-mile radius all around where God has planted us together. What kind of an impact are we having even in the community around us? That's a good question. God has placed each local congregation in specific geographies. And I think it's important to think, how are we impacting our target-driven area with the gospel? I also want you to think about where you live, work, and play. That's a target. That's a place where God has uniquely placed you to pray for others around you, to share the gospel with others around you. And I want to just, as we walk through these five things very quickly, I want to share just a few goals that I have as I think about this coming year in each of these areas. For us as Summit Cherrydale, I noted here that our Summit kids, our Summit students, and our life groups will plan and implement serving our circle mission outreach events in the coming year. You know that our Summit kids are already doing this in a significant way. Just a few weeks ago, they went over here to Shepherd's Home and blessed the residents right next door with gifts, and to bless our police officers and our firemen. I love that our Summit kids are doing that. Our Summit students are thinking this year of ways to bless our target right here around Summit Cherrydale. And I want to call all of our life groups to, doesn't necessarily have to be the geography around Summit Cherrydale, although our students and kids are doing that, but to think, how can we bless our God-given geographies? And we're also going to be digging into something called My Circle Training. We've done this prior, a few years ago before I got here, which is helping us all think evangelistically of how can I share the gospel with those in my circle, with those that are in my, for example, you know, my target of my family, my friends. So target-driven. Those are a few goals that I think of. Spiritual formation, discipling others in gospel-motivated, measurable values. A few goals that I think of for this year. Continuing to emphasize involvement in life groups and summit disciple groups. I just can't encourage you enough. If you're not in a life group or a summit disciple group, would you get signed up? Would you go on the website? Let us know, because this is really where community, life-on-life disciple equipping happens. Our life groups are focused on our values, which is intimacy with the Lord, community with others, and missional living. And then Summit Disciple is more targeted. How do I understand where I fit in God's story to make disciples of others? I'm going to add this: dinners and other connecting events in non-onboarding months. We're really this moving forward going to look at August and January as our two onboarding months into life groups, and not be onboarding people into those life groups in the other months. The reason is that once you kind of come together as a group, it's good to hold that or to be in that group for at least a few months so that you're not constantly every week trying to add new people. So, in light of that, my hope this moving forward, this coming year, is to have some dinners and other connecting events in non-onboarding months. So you're going to be hearing more about that, but we're going to be giving opportunities, maybe you want to be a part of that, to help incorporate and welcome guests and folks that get involved in the life of our church kind of in the interim months between our onboarding months for life groups and Summit Disciple. And then redeveloping a ministry to college students. We've had that in the past, but I've been aware, and yet I think we just have a great opportunity to do that. So that's another goal of mine that I really want us to be working on this year in terms of spiritual formation. Thinking about interdependent leadership. Submitting to Christ with a plurality of leadership functions. I will start by saying this is why you see a variety of teachers in our Sunday morning service. One of the ways that Summit lives out this interdependent leadership is that there's not one voice. I'm the congregational pastor here. I'm the over-shepherd. And yet, you don't hear from me every Sunday like I'm the senior pastor. So we have a team of elders and teachers in the life of Summit. And I think it is so refreshing and a blessing to be a part of a congregation and a church where there is shared leadership. And you hear from different voices. And there's not this focus on one particular leader. I also want you to meet Danny and Lake Scheider. It's a great opportunity to introduce some folks. Paul, do you have the mic? If you could, where did Paul go? Did Paul take the mic with him? He left it. Thank you, Corey. Austin, if you could join me up here. I'll turn it on. And this is just a great time to introduce Danny and Lake to you all, and I'll let Austin handle that.
How's it going? I'm awake. I'm awake. I really am.
Convincing, too.
I was taking aggressive notes, so. I was supposed to put up a picture, and they sent it to me. It was super cute, but I forgot to send it in, so I'm just going to ask Danny and Lake to come stand right here.
Show them your face.
Yeah, so people can see y'all. This is Danny. That's Lake. Real name is Allison. Lake was your maiden name, correct? It's your middle name, sorry. Wait, what? Oh, yeah. So it was your maiden name.
Yeah.
So don't mess with me, man. My brain's not that sharp right now. So I am the student ministry pastor here at Summit, at this summit and across all of the summits. And when I started attending Summit, before I ever worked here, I started attending here. And so when they brought me on staff, it was a natural transition for me to remain the student director here while also being the student pastor over all the summits. So if that sounds weird, it's kind of like not in value and not in importance, but it's kind of like I'm here and then there's a team of directors that are here. And it's actually a couple at each place. Except for, I was here, then there was a couple at Spartanburg, a couple at Simpsonville, a couple at Easley, and then I was also here as the Cherrydale director, existing in two positions. Everybody tracking?
Yep.
Now, I will no longer exist in two positions, and now they will be the Cherrydale student directors. And this is a beautiful thing. One, because as the student ministry pastor, it's my job to think about what is best for all four of our student ministries. And unfortunately, for the last 6 years, that's made it challenging to think about what's best for just Cherrydale student ministry. It's also pulled me in a few different directions. So there are probably things that you're like, I feel like normal student ministries do this, and we don't do that. And then if you ever asked me about it, I would tell you, yeah, that would be sick if we did that. I just don't have the time to do that. And so now, because we've recognized that, and we've known it for a while, but it's taken some time, truthfully, to like to pray and for God to deliver the right people, and we never want to rush those moves. But thankfully, now we feel like we have found the right people. And that is Danny and Lake. So if you just want to go ahead and clap for God bringing us the right people. And I don't want to take up a ton of time, but I'll say, I haven't even asked them about this, but now they're just going to do it. They'll be around after the service if you want to talk to them. I will say this, though. They literally are just starting. So as far as like ministry questions, you can ask me. If you want to get to know them, ask them. Is that fair? Everybody feel like that's fair? So if you're a parent in here and you were about to light them up, please don't. You can light me up. That's my job. We'll handle it, and it'll be a good time. If you want to get to know them, go and talk to them. Good? Good.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, baby. Cool. Interdependent leadership, church planting and partnering, starting new churches and partnering with existing churches. I just celebrate the fact that Summit has helped plant two churches in the last 2 years. We are on the move, Redemption Life Fellowship, and then a new church called Living Vine down in Woodruff. I just heard last Sunday they are blowing out their space. They're like running 300 or 400, and they don't even fit where they are. And so exciting stuff. God's moving. And that's down in an area of Greenville that's growing like crazy, where they're, you know, they've plotted for like thousands of homes and whatnot. So I just love that. And we are also connected with Upstate Church Collective. A number of churches, us, Fellowship Greenville, some others, have gotten to a place where we are now raising up leaders and church planters, and we have one right here, and his name is Will Aker. Will, join me up here. Where are you at, Will? Austin, did you grab the mic? Did you take the mic? Where did the mic get off to?
I turned it in.
Yeah, I want Will, we don't have a lot of time, Will, but just, I want him to hear from you. You guys know that Will has been, thank you, perfect. Will's been helping lead the meeting place, developing that, and now he is, what are you doing, Will? Tell us what.
That's a great question. So this is the first year, as Jody said, that we're doing this, so we're kind of building the airplane in the air, to be completely honest. But my role will be solely here at Summit Cherrydale, which makes a lot of sense. Summit Cherrydale has been my church home ever since I came back to Greenville, and I've had a long-standing relationship with Jody and Kyle, and a long-standing relationship with a lot of you guys, and opportunities to serve and care for these people here who are just like, I mean, you guys are family to me. And so I'm just really excited to get to serve you guys. There will be a number of hats that I wear, I'm sure, inevitably. And primarily, my focus will be with the meeting place still, so I have more bandwidth and time to actually focus on that and make it a little bit better and more formal and more consistent, help grow it some. I think I'll play a role in helping with the college ministry and developing that. So super excited for that, because that is an age group that is near and dear to my heart that I've worked with in the past and loved them dearly. Be helping out with a life group and a few other things as well. And just, I mean, honestly, a lot of my role here will just be availability and a ministry of presence. So perfect. I'm excited to see what the Lord has in store.
Isn't that cool? Let's give it up. Woo! I love it. So, and just, I put this under the heading of planning and partnering is because we're part of what Upstage Church Collective is doing this. It's UCC that is actually, it's UCC that is actually supporting Will making this happen, but he's serving right here with us. So really cool stuff. Lastly, global intentionality. And just a few things to say about that. First of all, some upcoming short-term missions trips. We are some at Cherrydale. Through Lisa and her leadership and others, take two missions trips annually. One is an upcoming trip to Kenya in March of 2026, to Naomi's village. That is coming up. And then back to back, typically has been in June, not quite yet sure our dates for 2026, but that's a trip down to Mexico. And those are two great opportunities. In fact, if you have any interest in either of those trips, Lisa is going to be holding an informational meeting next Sunday after the first service. So at about 10, 15 or whatever. So if you're interested in either of those, find Lisa out in the lobby and we'll be having an informational meeting. And then also, it was just before me, but apparently there's been a lot of involvement with a ministry called Rice Bowls. And there's a missions trip coming up to Honduras with Rice Bowl. Spartanburg campus is taking the lead on that, but I want you to know that that's happening next July. And then lastly, just to say, we're going to be having a heightened awareness of our partners. Kyle is right now compiling a list of all of our ministry partners. That's going to be published and available in September. And it's an opportunity for just us to be aware and pray and connect and just be a part of what God is doing. Lastly, I just want to say, if you have any interest in partnering here as a covenant member of Summit, we're going to be having a Member Connect gathering at Summit Simpsonville October 19th from 4 to 6, a two-hour gathering, which is something that is necessary for all new partners and new members. So I want you to have that on your radar screen if you want to come on board as a partner, and you can get that ball rolling by going on our website and clicking on the connect button. A lot, isn't it? Is this exciting? Yeah. You guys excited about what God's doing? I know I am. I just love it. Love what God's up to. So let me just call the worship team up, call us to prayer. God, as we think about these distinctives, yes, we want these to be absolutely true of Summit Cherrydale. But God, we also want them to be true of each one of us. To understand, God, that I'm not a spectator in the stands, I'm in the game. That I am part of what you are doing even when I don't see it, even when I'm not aware of it. So God, help me right now to commit, to understand and embrace your call on my life, first of all, to be target-driven in my life. God, I commit to you to being aware of my environment, of my neighborhood, of my friendships, where I hang out. God, would you help me bring you into those conversations? To, Lord, be praying for my circle, to be sharing with my circle, to saturate my God-given geography with the gospel. Second of all, Lord, help me in this distinctive of spiritual formation to really lean in to growing in my faith and learning, but not just for head knowledge, God, but that it would translate to my hands and my mouth and my feet. God, if I were to draw a picture of myself right now in terms of my who I am in Christ, I don't want it to just be a big head and a big heart. God, I want to have big hands, big feet to be sharing with what you've given me. God, help me to submit to what you're doing in terms of interdependent leadership. God, I think about that even in my life. Just, it's not about me. It's about what you're doing as a team through others. Help me, Lord, to walk in humility. Church planning and partnership. Wow. Let that be deep on my heart. What does that look like, Lord, to continue to plant and partner so that your good news is spread? And then to be a part of what you're doing in the world. Go into all the world. Make disciples. Lord, you might be prompting some right here, right now, to be in that meeting next Sunday with Lisa. Help me, Lord, to be praying for those that are out getting it done all over the world. We love you, Jesus. We love you.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you, so we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.